This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 39, Moving the Fielders. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about the latest rule change and how that's going to affect your tactical approach to the game when you move fielders around as the bowler's bowling. We also answer a couple of your questions, including one about an open stance and chopping onto the stumps, and another about the difference between bowling on synthetic and bowling on turf. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to better cricket, no matter who you are and no matter where you are. My name, as you probably already know, is David Hinchliffe, and I look after things here. And there's a couple of guys joining me, as they always do, on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. The first is the Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello there, Garris.
Hello, fellas.
And last but not least, it's Sam Lavery, who's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. So a piece of news I wanted to talk about this week was the introduction of a rule change, or a law change, that the MCC have brought in recently. And that's to do with fielders being allowed to move a lot more than they used to be allowed to move. And I guess this is in response to some players making some fast adjustments when they've seen a batsman playing a particular type of shot. Used to be against the rules to move, but now fielders are allowed to move at the last minute. So what do we think, guys? Are there any tactical implications of this? Will we see it a lot more now it's legal?
Well, I think we will, and I think we've also seen it in the past. I'll make no secret of the fact that in 2005, in our 2020 cricket that we were playing, we would have a call which would mean a slower ball bouncer, and the guy who was fielding at deep backward square leg would be there as the guy started his run, but by the time the ball was delivered he would be way in front of the square, and we picked up two or three wickets in that competition as a result of that. And that's an example of where we got away with it, probably, rather than anything else. But obviously that sort of thing can become a little bit more commonplace. And I think, you know, it's good for the game, not just for the cricket in general, but I think for bowlers and for fielders. And I think we can become a lot smarter. And obviously, you know, you're not going to have people running in front of front of the batter or try to put them off or anything. But in reaction to all of the different things that are coming in from a batting perspective, it's only right that if you predict something that a batter is looking to do, whether it be a reverse switch or, you know, a ramp or whatever the case may be, if you can pick that early, and sometimes people do give that away early, then, you know, get on your bike and do what you can. It promotes active thinking, it promotes streetwise cricketers and also streetwise captains, I think.
And so is this something you can see yourself practicing, Gareth?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think any nuance, any change in the regulations that you can see a performance benefit in, if you get it right, any coach out there who's worth his salt will be looking to maximise it. However, I would suggest that, you know, whilst this is something to go after, it's not something you would spend a whole pre-season on. It would be something that you would incorporate into your practices and keep talking about, and over a period of time you'd become more effective at it. And it's a bit like I remember when free hits first came in, which was way, way back. I was playing professional cricket, and our Sunday league practice at the time was geared solely around trying to smack it out of the park. And we spent the whole of pre-season working on this, i.e. not bowling no balls, so everybody's trying to stay behind the line. And secondly, from a batting perspective, trying to whack it as far as we could when we did get that opportunity. And then on the first two occasions, our England player, the number one batter in the world, Robin Smith, was the recipient of the first two free hits. The first one he left, and the second one he blocked straight back down the wicket. So all of that practice was for nothing. So, yeah, it's something that you practice an appropriate amount of time. The game is still the game, and you practice the basics, the foundations, and all the things that we talk about regularly on this show, rather than spending too much time on call plays and people running all over the place when you when you see a switch hit, that's something that you'll incorporate into your practice in a gradual way and in a little way, because it is only a, if it's a one percenter, then great, but you know, it might even be less than that.
And Davis, it is one of those things that you can have a bit of fun with as well. If you want to mix things up, it's a good way to get people thinking and moving around in different ways. And they might never use it in a game, but you can finish a session with it if you want to do something a bit different.
Yeah, I think anything you can add to a session where you pass the creativity side of it or the thinking side of it to the players is fantastic. So allowing the guys to have that creative responsibility where they can go and decide how they want to utilise a rule or a little bit of flexibility within the rules is great. So getting the guys thinking and making sure that they're owning their decisions they're making is a good thing. Like Gareth has alluded to there, it's not something that's suddenly going to change the whole aspect of the way the game is played, because people have been doing it for a number of years. It's just something that it's not possible to police it particularly. It's not easy to police it, and the umpires have got enough to think about anyway. So why not just let it happen? And I think people who've already been doing it will continue to do it, and they'll continue to exploit various instances in matches. But guys that maybe haven't, maybe will look to exploit a little bit, and maybe they'll get the balance right, maybe they'll get the balance wrong. It's a small thing, it's a little add-on, and it's a little bit of fun for the boys to try and think about, because they like to know that they're doing the 1%. Sometimes those 1%ers are a little bit more fun for the boys than thinking about the core skills, so a little bit of creativity in there is nice.
Right, let's finish this section with the yes-no round. That is a couple of questions that the team can only answer yes or no to, no matter how much more that they want to say. I've got the question, so let's fire away. First question. First we form habits, then they form us.
No.
Yes.
Second question. Coaching is taking a player where he can't take himself.
No.
No.
Third question. Information is different to wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the part of the show that we turn over to questions that have been sent in to listeners or perhaps readers to the Pitch Vision website over at pitchvision.com. How it works is a question gets sent in by a listener. We do our very best to answer it. And whether we get the answer right or not, we choose a winner of the best question of the week, which wins a prize of an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can find out more by going over to the Pitch Vision website to find out about that. And you can send in your question to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com, or there's lots of other ways you can get in touch with us, which we'll tell you about at the end of the show. The first question is from Ben, and Ben says, "Hi guys, I was wondering if you've done anything on facing left arm quick bowlers to open up the stance or not. I find with an open stance, I chop the ball onto my stumps when playing a cover drive. So can we help Ben with this problem?"
Yeah, we can do. And the whole open stance thing is really interesting, because I suppose conventional coaching is, if you're a right-handed batter, which I'm assuming you are here, then traditionally we were always encouraged to open up. And obviously we do have to open up to a degree, because the ball is coming from a different angle. But what we know about players, and this is again where the sort of the eye that tracks motion more effectively comes into play. So if I'm a left-handed, a right-handed left motorized, so my left eye tracks motion better, then I can actually not have to open up so much to be able to access the ball and be able to see the ball effectively. I'd probably have a minimal, well, not minimal, but I'd have a little movement to open myself up. Whereas if I'm a right motor eye and I track the ball better with my right motor eye, then I'm going to have to open myself up quite a lot, because the angle that the ball's being delivered on is so different to right arm over. So it's about really working out which way you think you track the ball best. And a left arm is a great opportunity to establish that. So get in the position that you've always been coached. and have a go at it. Have a go at facing left arm. And if you're finding it's difficult because it's not an angle that we practice, then either open your stance up a bit more or bring your stance back round a bit and see which one works. The classic example for me was, it isn't about left arm bowlers, but it's a similar thing in that Adam Gilchrist is a left-handed batter, appears to be right motorized. And when he was facing Andrew Flintoff from over the wicket, everything was looking fantastic because he was sideways on to his target and had an average of 70 plus against England during his career. And then as soon as Andrew Flintoff went around the wicket, he moved his stance in a sort of conventional fashion to close up a fraction. But actually, when you looked at where his eye was at point of release, his right eye was looking pretty much straight back over the top of the stumps and almost towards the right arm over. Yet Fred's release point was way out on the crease from right arm around. And that was one of the reasons why he wasn't able to cover the pace, the movement, the length, as well as he had done from right arm over when Fred was bowling at him. And that was one of the keys to success in 2005. It wasn't that we knew about this stuff. It was just that Adam Gilchrist did the conventional thing and made a little adjustment rather than knowing about this motorized thing. And if he'd have known that, then he'd have always probably closed himself off, or what we would consider closed himself off, so he could track that ball from being released wide on the crease. So it's very much a motorized thing, and I'm certainly having more success about getting players to play different angles, not just left arm over, but different angles of bowlers, because they have an understanding of which one of their eyes tracks the ball the best.
Lavers, what do you think might be causing that chopping on problem?
Well, the chopping on sounds like it's maybe coming from the bat going from straight bat to an angled bat, and that's often when we start to reach for the ball and we start to play away a little bit further from our body. So it may be that in opening up his stance, he's doing it by opening that front foot. And something that I talked about a month or two ago is looking at a different option to open up, and that's opening up by taking your back foot across a little bit further towards the off stump rather than your front foot coming across towards the leg stump. In doing that, that allows you to hit a lot more balls with a straight bat down the ground, which is often the strength of the left arm over, where they get the ball that seems to be going across you a little bit more. And it lets you hit the ball a little bit back more down the ground and to where the ball's come from. So as well as the motorized thing, which is undoubtedly going to be a key player when we look at the little adaptations that he can be making, and that'll probably be a big one. I'd also think about possibly trying out the way you open up your stance and looking at that back foot going across and angling from there rather than the front foot opening up and taking you away from the ball when it is out on or outside off stump, because no doubt the ball's being chopped on from somewhere in that channel, so the closer you can be to it, the better.
Next question is from Ryan, and Ryan says, I bowl leg spin, and I've recently observed that when I bowl in games on turf wickets, my action is different to that of when I train on synthetic. My hip drive and knee drive is less powerful on turf, and I don't pivot as much either. Do you know why this is, and what I should do to improve my bowling on turf?
Well, the short answer on this is that I don't know. It would be wrong of me to try and speculate. I think the best thing I could advise you, Ryan, and is to take some footage of you bowling indoors on synthetic surfaces and then on turf, so we can have a look at it. But it's very, very difficult for me to establish why, because it's not a problem that I've come across in the past. The only thing that went through my head when I read the question is about the difference in footwear, maybe. But even then, I can't be sure, because I haven't experienced the same type of challenge, whether that is the root cause. But I don't know if Sam's got any more ideas, but it would be wrong of me to spout on about stuff that actually I've got no understanding of, nor any experience of at this point. So to me, if you want some help, then get some imagery on any form of camera, ping it in on bowling on both of those surfaces. Ideally, getting a front view would be absolutely magnificent from that, and I'd be more than happy, and I'm sure Sam would be, to look at it. But any more than that, I'm afraid I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I agree with that, Gareth. It's a tricky one, isn't it, and not one that really I've come across a load of times before. Immediately when you're in the dark, you just start looking for the variables, which I imagine is what you've done in your head there. And the obvious variable is the surface that you're on, and whether that's the how even the surface is, or any undulation there is in the surface, or physically the traction that you're getting with the surface. So I would have gone down the same lines as well, and looked towards that traction, and is there a difference in footwear, or a difference in the way that your footwear reacts with grass as it does to a synthetic. So I would imagine it will have to be something around there. It's going to be a variable that's involved, and that seems like the biggest one and the most obvious one to me. So more than happy to look at some footage. So if you do get to send anything in, Ryan, that'd be great, and we will offer you everything we can, which would be interesting to have a look at. But yeah, I would be considering your footwear and the differences in your footwear and how they react with the ground.
I think it'd be the really important thing, if there's any coaches that are listening to this out there, is that and we're doing some assessments on the ECB level 4 at the moment, and these guys get bombarded with questions just like we're getting bombarded with questions. And the easy thing is to try and blag an answer and give somebody a speculative answer. But when you're coaching people, I think it's really important to also say when you don't know. And that's not a sign of weakness at all. It's almost more a sign of strength. And certainly with a little bit more information, i.e. video, we could do a little bit more exploration. And rather than give you something now that you go away and try that's got no grounding whatsoever, which we often hear when people are being coached, because they want to give you an answer, they want to help, which is a fantastic intention, but it's not a bad thing to say, actually, I don't know about that, and I'll go away and find out a little bit more on it. And certainly in this case, it's not something I've experienced, and it sounds like Sam's is equally in the dark as myself. Try the footwear thing, maybe, but the best thing to do would be to send us some video, and it would be a good follow-up.
I wonder if Ryan already has a bit of video footage, because he's obviously assessed that his hip drive and knee drive are less powerful, and he may be just assessing that by looking at his finishing position with his feet and his hips and his shoulders, etc. But he may have also had a little look at some video footage, so he's been able to ascertain that there isn't as much action coming from those knees and hips. So maybe he's got a little bit for us already, which would be great. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he's measured that if he hasn't done, and definitely get some video in.
And yeah, that's a really good sign in itself, isn't it? That he's identified the problem and he's found exactly where it's going wrong. Rather than thinking, it's weird, in nets I bowl in one way and in games I bowl in another way, and I can't work out why there's a difference. But he's sort of pinned down. He said, "Well, look, my nets are on synthetic and I play on turf, so maybe there's something there."
I mean, the pivoting thing, just thinking about it on the spot, I'm thinking on my feet a bit, and I'm not going to give a conclusive answer here, so I am guessing a little bit, but I do see a lot of spinners, and they get a brand new set of spikes, and they do struggle with that pivot in a brand new set of spikes, and maybe the spikes digging into the turf is restricting that pivot a little bit. I wouldn't be prescribing that as an answer at all, but that could be one thing that I can throw out there. Again, that's just a footwear comment, which is following on from what we've said before there.
Yeah, exactly. And we know from the way that he's presented the question that Ryan is a guy who thinks about his game and is prepared to try things. So we can throw a few suggestions up in the air as long as he realises that it's not the absolute answer.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so soapbox time, and this week it's David's turn. So David's got 60 seconds. Some insightful rant, no doubt. So David, over to you, off you go.
I had a bit of a breakthrough this week when it came to coaching batting, and it was all about the difference between technique and game awareness. And I came up with an idea in my head. It's sure it's been said before, but the idea that I had was to call it situational batting. So rather than looking at technique when you're coaching somebody, technique is important, but rather than doing that, I was thinking, let's coach people towards playing to situations. Because if you know how to play to a situation within your own game, then it doesn't really matter what your technique is like. If you're confident of the way that you play, even if you're doing something crazy that no one's ever done before, as long as you're confident that you can do it in that particular situation, and that means that you can do it when you're under the pressure of a game. So when you're thinking about batting and improving your technique, think more about improving your ability to bat under a pressure situation, and then context becomes more important than technique, which is going to improve your game. And that is the end of the show for another week. Before we go, we are going to decide on the winner of this week's competition, the online coaching course from Pitch Vision at pitchvision.com. And we had two questions. We had one from Ben about facing left-arm quick bowlers, and we had one from Ryan about the difference between bowling between synthetic surfaces and turf. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I'm going to go with Ben's one this week, because we haven't really answered Ryan's one as yet. I hope that we get to do that in future weeks. So Ben's question, absolutely outstanding, and hopefully either the motorized thing or a combination of Sam's suggestion and mine will give you an idea of where to go with your game.
Congratulations to you. And Lavers, if someone was listening to this show and they wanted to send their own question in, how could they get in touch with us?
Well, they could give us a ring on 0203 239 7543, or they could drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. In addition, you can get us on social media. You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, and you can also get us on Twitter by tweeting at pitchvisionacad. If you want to listen to the show every week, and we sincerely hope that you do want to listen every week, then you can subscribe to the show in any pod catching app that you have on your tablet or your phone or your computer. Just type in Pitch Vision Academy into the search box and we'll come up with the first result. And you can tap on the subscribe button to get it updated every week. You can also listen to the show streamed online through our web player and get the show notes by going to pitchvision.com/academy and clicking on the podcast link. And from there, you'll be able to get all the previous shows, listen to them by streaming them, or download them onto your computer, or do it any way that you care to mention. As long as you listen, we're happy whatever way that you're trying to do it. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.